Welcome to Ira's Everything Bagel, where I talk with intriguing people about everything, their passions, pursuits, and points of view. Now, some may say actors are a tortured lot, but my guest helps them transform themselves, not only in her teaching, but in her updated book, The Power of the Actor. Renowned acting teacher and bestselling author Ivana Chubbuck is creator of the widely adopted and adapted Chubbuck technique. And it's an acting method taught in universities and in accredited studios all over the world. And she's author of this updated edition of The Power of the Actor, the Chubbuck Technique, the 12-step acting technique that will take you from script to a living, breathing, dynamic character. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all the usual places. And for everything about Ivana, go to ivanachubbuck.com, and you can follow her on Facebook and Instagram. And Ivana, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. That was a beautiful introduction. You did well. I gave you an A.
Thank you. I like being graded. I like that. Nobody ever grades me anymore, so this is good. This is good. Before you got into the technique that you write about, what is your background? How did you get to where you are today, where you are giving this great advice to people, and now you're writing an updated version of the book about it as well?
Well, I'm going to try to give you the short version.
Short version is always good.
I came out here to be an actor, and I found acting class after acting class, and the books that were related to the techniques that they were espousing were techniques that in the books themselves were very theoretical. So I thought, ultimately, I need to write a practical application that will allow people to do an easy way, a 12-step program that will help them really find how to do script analysis easily and without having to think about how do I take theory and translate it into something else. I also have like a lot of things like how to feel organically stoned, how to feel fear organically for real in your body, where it's actually literal things change in your body. Your eyes contract, your pupils contract, your skin gets pale, your heart beats faster. But they're formulas all based in math, because there's a behavioral science, there's a math to our behavior. And so my technique, which again, I believe science tells us how to duplicate real human beings. So I base my technique on behavioral science. I base it in psychology, which is a science, and then cultural anthropology, which is the science of culture through history. So if you have to play somebody from, say, a period of time or from a culture you know nothing about, I have ways, and it's in the book, ways to be able to find that from an organic place where you really can feel and be authentic. The quick version of why the technique is based in a philosophy that instead of sitting in your pain, you want to use that same pain, insecurities, and fears as something that is a very powerful fuel to overcome and win with. And so it's a more dynamic journey to watch somebody who doesn't feel sorry for themselves, but rather say, you know what, I'm going to win in spite of and because of the bad things that have happened to me. So it becomes something that we need to do, not just through the character, but it bleeds into your real life, because it feels so good and empowering when you're doing it. And it therefore then transfers over to your audience, who gets it subliminally. And then also, there's more, I had a very, very tragic childhood. Not tragic, I say, because I had a mother who was mentally ill, who was physically and emotionally violent, and a father who was an amazing man, a lawyer for civil rights, for unions, and was a people's lawyer. But he wasn't there to protect us, my six siblings and me, from all the violence. And so I felt that I needed to, in order to not self-destruct with all the information, which I was really, really doing, I was really in a bad place, I decided that I need to come up with a way to change my way of thought through my acting, which I started fairly young, and I just started coming up with things that I was going to do myself. just to change that, just do a spin, if you will, of like, instead of saying this is the worst thing that happened, this is the thing that happened that allows me to solve, resolve, evolve, and ultimately have catharsis, so that we're finding change, a good change, prosperous change within the spin that I supply within this book. How to do it for the character, and in a lot of ways, people are using it just to help themselves. A lot of people read this book to all over the world, because it's in 23 languages, to be able to change their personal lives as well, which is not what I'm not a therapy person, but it's so.
Understood.
Yeah, so I just want to take that off. I don't say I do that, but the point is, it just seems to be an after effect of writing something that I was doing to survive. So, bottom line, after all that, it was basically a tool of survival, and then to put that information into art. So I'm creating a beautiful picture with my paint.
That's a great summation of it. I like it. You did it all in just a couple of minutes, so it's good. When you talk about, and I was thinking about it while you were talking about the concept of not being mirrored or mired in your pain, or mirrored too, I guess if you look in the mirror, you see the pain too. But instead of being mired in your pain, you're going to transform that. You're going to power through in a way. That's a term that people like to use, and work to
I'm
you.
going to interrupt you for a second, is
Sure.
powering through is a little bit of a victim-y way of thinking. I got to power through it, as opposed to say, this is going to help me be a better person, because I've experienced life that's going to help me be understand how to be a more empowered person. Because if you don't, the concept is, if I'm trying to create an empowered self, I have to understand how powerless I am. So in order to do that, you have to really explore your powerlessness and where it comes from and where it emanates from, the psychology, where it becomes, where you created what you, from other people's points of view, your parents, your siblings, your peers, and then how you can like look at this is like, I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to grow from this. I'm going to have life lessons about this. I'm going to be a more enlightened person because of this. And the concept of powering through, meaning it hurts, but my way of thinking is, it actually feels really good. It lightens the load and it makes you feel empowered. So we want to always think in terms of not like, okay, I gotta get through it, but I'm looking forward to getting through it. I'm looking forward to finding my special ways of doing this, my unique and special ways that I, as a person, universal I, as a person, finds their way to being productive, creative, and also prosperous emotionally, spiritually, and actual.
I think you just said it makes a lot of sense too. It's a personalized experience. It's not one size fits all once you are able to realize you can deal with this and it makes you a better person. And but you're gonna do it in your own way, and you're gonna experience it in your own way, and you're gonna come out with yourself in a different way than somebody else would. So
And you take it's like, I'm just give a story. A girl in class just last week, her husband died of a motorcycle accident. He's a young man. It was unexpected. And so she asked, I wouldn't have pushed her to do this, but she asked to do her scene in class. And I said, okay. She said, you know, I'm going to be using the loss. I'm going to be using that information because I don't want, it's like, it's destroying me on the inside. I want to find a way to, use it to overcome all I'm feeling with it and the despair I'm feeling. So she did do this scene, and there was such a freedom to her behavior. And she seemed like she was just really in this place of like, yes, she had the hurt and the pain, but she was also finding the light, finding the light, finding the light to get to the other side. And so I said at the end of the scene, I said, okay, I don't have any notes for you, but I'd like to know three adjectives of how you feel right now after you finish this. Thinking that most people say, well, you've used something like that, it's dangerous and not in any way. How do you get empowered by that kind of, despair? And she said, and literally she was light as can be, and she said, I felt freedom. I felt I don't care if people judge me. I don't care what people think about me. And the third thing I thought was the most amazing thing, she said, I feel pretty. And I thought, that's amazing. She felt pretty because she was feeling, whenever we're feeling really in a lot of pain and hurt, we could look in the mirror and we feel so ugly. And you could be the most beautiful person on the planet, the most handsome person. But when you're going through something that's really dark, you could look in the mirror and you really feel like you're seeing a monster. And so she felt pretty. That's what this technique does. It's an, I could tell you so many stories just like that.
And you've worked with a lot of well-known actors who obviously compliment you in public as well. And when you put together these 12 steps, and your background was fascinating, but you didn't indicate to me, and maybe that's why I'm asking it now, is how you were able to find these 12 steps. Was it part of previous studies that you did, as well as experiences that you had in acting, or how did you end up having these 12 steps for this technique? Where did that come from?
Came from just teaching for a long time. I've been teaching for 40 years. And so initially it started off as a 20-page guide that had 14 steps. And they were a little bit different. It wasn't as clear. And then it became a 42-page book. Again, this was just for the students.
Right.
To clarify, there's a system here. And I changed some of the system, and it's still 14 steps, but some of it was changed off of information from doing scenes, from doing privates with people, from just, it's like anything else. It's like when you invent something, you try this, that, and the other thing to see what works and what doesn't work. And then it became a system by virtue of trying different things out. And when it was time to write the big book, I took 14 steps, turned it to 12 because it was more manageable. And but truly the process was a scientific one, and the same way that if you're discovering electricity or how the telephone works or how to create a telephone, in the same way you try this, that, and the other thing, and you see what makes the most sense because it's the most effective. This is more effective. Let's take this thing out, or let's reword this, or and so it became. It was just a process of just teaching for a really long time before the first big book came out, and the first two like little guys that people were talking. I mean, I would get phone calls and emails from all over the country saying, "I've heard about this little book, and I want." And so it was. So now they don't exist anymore because of the big book. But and again, I did 4 years to write the first book, because all new stuff kept coming in, and new stuff kept coming in. So it was still growing and growing and growing. And the newest book is 20 years, a 20-year anniversary last year.
Amazing.
20 years of information. It's so exciting. I feel like without humility, I'm saying. This is 20 years of doing workshops all over the world with different cultures, like being going to China, Japan, Australia, Italy, UK, South America, every culture that you could imagine. I have been a part of, like, Saudi Arabia, like just Israel, just so many different cultures. And if you use that information to kind of bottom line, the human beings are human beings are human beings. So the thing that's going to make you, if you're writing, because this is for writers, directors, and actors, it's like if you're writing something or directing something or acting something, it has to be relatable to the planet. So there's certain elements that are primal elements of just being a human being, which I've come to find out by working with all these people that have the same fears, the same issues, the same insecurities, the same issues with parents, with their children, with mates. And it's all the same. It's weirdly the same, which is really fascinating. And I think enjoyable and just the nature of education, but the self-education that I have that I try to pass along all the time, is that you have to be relatable. I know what this person's going through because I feel the same way. Therefore, that's how you create a fan. And whether the fan is the actual audience or a fan is a casting director, director, producer, they gotta love you to be want to cast you. I mean, it's just like anything else. What did you want to be? if you're hiring someone at IBM, you'd still want to have somebody that you enjoy their company to be working in your company. And so we have to do the same thing. It's just, it's not, you have to be good at what we do, absolutely, but you also, there's in my book, there's a chemistry exercise, how to create chemistry with anybody. I had somebody, one of my
It's
students.
like, well, it's like the likability factor. In other words, if you have a choice between person A, you're going to hire a person B, whether it's as an actor or as a director at IBM. If person A is qualified but likable and person B is qualified but not likable, you're probably going to hire person A. Quite the analysis. I like that. Well, how important is having a sense of humor in these 12 steps, or does it even factor in working with what you're going through? In other words,
Glad you asked
thank
that.
you.
I believe that in order to understand the dark, you have to understand the light. It's like if you sit in the dark long enough, you're going to see things. It's not going to be dark anymore, right? So it's important to have three-dimensionality of life. A comedy should have drama. Drama should have comedy. I also think that comedy is a medicine. So it also helps you watch something to make you feel good, make the process a more feel-good process. Even one of the things about the great directors and the great writers and the great actors, they understand the concept. You have to put humor in, and even if it's sardonic, even if it's dark gallows humor, which was my favorite, even if it's that you're putting in there, it's you sit in the if it's so dark all the time, it's depressing. And we want to be able to make people feel good and be able to give them hope via the choices that people make and their script analysis, and whether from the point of view of acting, writing, or directing, is that you have to make people enjoy themselves, because people will have, first of all, we have options. We have options. We have so many platforms right now. But number two, I also have the option to not watch anything. I also have that option too. And so the idea is we want people to go, I can't wait to see the next episode of this, or I can't wait to see that person in that stage play, because I've heard so everybody say it's just such a wild and fabulous experience. And again, it doesn't have to be a crazy comedy. It could be a very, very dark piece, but must have the comedy factor. The comedy factor is key in making people feel the three-dimensionality of life, but also we want to enjoy ourselves. We shouldn't do anything if we're not enjoying ourselves. I mean, including acting. A lot of people say, I hate what I'm going through. And I said, don't do this. Do something. Crazy. Let me
Well, as I said in the beginning, that actors sometimes could be tortured. So I think your advice is very well given, which is, you have to enjoy what you're doing. Otherwise,
Sometimes some people really like being miserable, so
why?
it's like they're in a good place, in a good place. But I
Well, about your 12 steps, I was just thinking that's almost like, there's a baker's dozen, you have an actor's dozen. So you may end up having one extra technique and or tip that you want to give too. And we can talk about that. But when somebody starts that 12-step process, what happens if you not only are dealing with things internally, trauma, something that's going on in your life, but you also are, wait for it, inherently lazy? Can you still get through those 12 steps, those 12 techniques?
That's what you have to power through it. You have to say, I
Oh,
may.
wait a minute. I used that power through it earlier and you were on my case.
This is where you use it, I said. Come on. Ira. Okay, so listen, tell me. I do my New Island accent. Darling, darling. Come on, listen. This is where people who are inherently lazy, this is not the job for you, by the way, because it takes a lot of work. It's a very difficult kind of any of the part of the entertainment industry is prestigious. It's very hard to get into. So the only way that you're going to accomplish anything is really, because one of the things I always tell people, what is the recipe for or for a formula for success in this business is work ethic, and then having working really hard and studying really hard and taking chances, making bold choices, because that's the powerful people. Those are the people that we said take the chance that people go, I don't like it, I will judge you, all that kind of those are, and we always respect bravery. Bravery is sexy. So if you're inherently and fundamentally lazy, this is so not the job for you. But if you really still want to do it, you gotta power through it. This is the only way I'm going to use that word. You have
Gotcha.
to power through it, because it's something you have to say, well, I don't feel like doing it. Give yourself appointment times. Appointment, say, this is where I'm going to study. This is a time where I'm going to give myself, you're in acting class. The Javier Bardem goes to acting class between movies because he knows there's always something more to learn. And so I work with people, so many people that are huge stars. They say, no, there's always more and more to learn, more to grow, more to understand about the world that we live in. And then also for them to like feel like they have to raise the bar, because the more you learn, the more you realize if you've met the bar that you've set, then you got to raise the bar again, and you got to learn more to raise to get to that bar. So it's a constant raising of the bar, but that takes a lot of work. So if you're fundamentally and willing to accept that as being just what it is, then this is not the business for you. Or no.
Understood.
Oh, and I'm going to add further, no success, because there's nobody who's successful in anything that doesn't work more hours than they have to.
Very good point. There's another thing I was thinking about that other than laziness, and that is ego. And in the entertainment industry, ego plays an important part. What happens when you deal with an actor or a director? Because this book is for actors, directors, writers. And also for, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of people get a lot of out of the book who are not in the business because of what you're talking about. What happens when you're working with an actor, let us say, who is talented but also has a big ego and then doesn't necessarily think he or she has to learn anymore? As they've met with you, they've actually done the 12-step acting technique, but they think that they've reached a certain level and they don't need to learn anything more. Do you encounter that with some clients?
Normally people come, I'm a teacher, I'm an educator, so why would you come to me if you weren't willing to want, if you thought you were done learning? Because so those people, I don't know them, because they don't come to me. And so I'll tell you the Sylvester Stallone story. He's like, at 69 years old, he called me. He said, I feel like my abilities have atrophied. I mean, his words is also, he said it in the New York Times and on NPR. And so he called me up. He said, can you help me, add more to and reinvigorate my joy of acting, because I'm just not feeling it anymore. He's been doing it for so many years. And we did, we first started working on Creed. And what we did was, he was so open. He was like a sponge. He was like available to everything that we were talking about. We worked together. He's a brilliant and very funny guy. And together as a team, we started adding more to his very vast amount of information he already had as a director and an actor and a writer. And so we added more to the party, because you can never stop learning. When you stop learning, it should be the grave. That's when the time stops, you stop learning, because I think learning is also keeps you healthy. Learning makes you keeps you fascinated. And the most important word of all, it keeps you curious. And I think the more we're curious, the more we try to explore, the more enjoyable life is. And so we had so much fun just like exploring pretty dark stuff, but the thing is that he wanted to grow, and he called me himself. His people didn't call me, and whatever ego he might or might not have, I have no idea what he does on the set, but this man is does not have an ego. And also, he did something. It's my people. We've become friends too. This is not just like, it's a different kind of relationship. My sister's an academic, so she doesn't have the same kind of relationship I have with people, because we reveal each other to each other, our secrets and stuff. And so when my husband died, he sent me a video with the most beautiful message of him telling me like how I was going to get through it, and I had his love and his and whatever I needed from him. And but he said words that were just like, I kept the video to listen to him every whenever I feel bad about myself or whatever, because it was so eloquent and wonderful. But my people are like that. So the ego thing you're talking about, they do exist. And those people don't think they need to study. But they also are the people that always get bad reviews and oftentimes don't have a career after a fairly short period of time.
That's a good point. That's a good point. What would you like people, we have a couple of minutes left. What would you like people to take away from reading your book? Clearly, each step is important, but there may be some one or two concepts that you would like them particularly to take away from reading your book. And again, it's called The Power of the Actor, the Chubbuck Technique, but it is more than that. It's insight as well as technique. So it's a combination, in my view, is a combination of that. But what would you like people to take away from reading your book?
Well, the most important thing is we're telling a story. And so we have to have a beginning, middle, and end. So if we're just going into a lot of actors go straight to emotion, and that doesn't tell a story. Emotions drip to the floor. But telling a story needs to be proactive in getting something. And the journey becomes how much I want it. I fail. I try to pick myself up again, and then I try again. And this is the journey, the roller coaster ride of a hero's journey. So we need to make everybody an emotional hero, utilizing their pain, their issues from the page, what's in the script. And we work out why this person is this person from a point of view of really like a detective, like really profiling this character. And then, and only then, once you figure out what is the story through objective and through overall objective, and then the obstacles getting in the way, do we personalize? And so, and that's this way we're only using the things that make sense that will fuel our ability to tell the best story. So emotions are there to help us tell the most truthful and the most important story that you need to tell to express yourself, so that it becomes a dynamic end result. But most important, we're storytellers, and we have to remember that it's not we're not about it's not therapeutic. It's not meant to be something that. Well, that's why when people just go straight to their emotions and breaking down a script, what happens is that they end up being, it becomes maudlin. It becomes depressing. But if we use it to, it's like to really grow with, to really to try to just find the other side, things to be able to move on from the things that have been stopping us via a character, via playing that character, via writing. It's like Moby Dick is Herman Melville was trying to destroy his demons. He wasn't, trying to write to be the, considered the most famous author. He was fighting his demons in that. And this is what we have to find. What are the characters' demons? And therefore, how does that make sense to our world? And so we tell the most dynamic story and then have the most dynamic experience for ourselves and for the other people.
Well,
That's a
that's a
lot.
great way to leave it. My guest has been Ivana Chubbuck. She's author of the updated version of The Power of the Actor, the Chubbuck Technique, the 12-step acting technique that will take you from script to a living, breathing, dynamic character, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all the usual places. And for everything about Ivana Chubbuck, go to ivanachubbuck.com, and you can follow her on Facebook and Instagram. And Ivana, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.